Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the third and final hour of the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, sickos. It's Robert.
All right, Robert, good morning, and third and final hour already. Now let's open those phone lines up and see if we can get some calls in here. 713-572-4610, that's 713-572-4610. Give us a call, we'd love to hear from you. And on this Sunday morning, pre-Thanksgiving, man, 4 days away. Well, five if you count today, but it's right around the corner. Good time of year. Good fishing, good hunting. I mean, it's good to be a Texan this time of year with all the outdoor activities going on. It's not bad at all. Good fall football. College football was pretty entertaining yesterday, if you watched any of that. But it was a pretty day. I didn't spend much time on it, too. I stayed outside really nice. I had a text earlier by a listener wanting to know, he knows I've been catching crabs this fall and putting some up, you know, for gumbo and things like that throughout the winter. But he wanted to know how I boiled them. And it's real simple. A lot of folks want to make it, complicated and everything else, but timing's everything on crabs, kind of like boiling crawfish. Your timing on your boil and your soak have got to be just right, or, you know, they won't pick as easy and the meat won't come out as good. And then when you crack the pinchers, you don't get that, you know, it's not that full piece of meat in there. It's hard to the shell and everything else when you overcook them or undercook them, same way. But it's real easy. You know, I always clean my crabs. A lot of people like to boil them shell, you know, what I call guts, feathers, and all. I clean them. I pull the shell off, take the lungs off and the filters and clean it, clean all the in between the two halves of the shell, clean all those, the fat and the guts out of there. But just wash it real easy with a water hose. You don't want to spray all the meat out of there. But once you clean enough of them, you know how to do it. But I just bring my water to a boil. I add, it depends on how many you're going to boil. You know, you got to add to your water as you boil them, but just, you know, you're going to do one batch. You got a fairly big crawfish pot, and you're going to put, say, 4 or 5 dozen in there at one time with your basket. I'll put a cup of apple cider vinegar in there in my water. And one or two sticks of butter. I don't like them too buttery or greasy. I'll just do one stick of butter. And then I'll use just a little bit of the liquid. That liquid's strong, and it'll make those crabs, you know, pretty hot to taste, you know, spicy-wise if you put too much. I'll put about maybe an ounce or two of that in there. And then the powder's what I like to use. And, man, there's a lot of different flavors that people like, you know, whether it's Old Bay seasoning. Old Bay's my favorite. Sometimes it's hard to get. it's better to order it online and get it in the big 3.5-pound sacks. It's a lot cheaper that way. But either Louisiana or Old Bay are my two favorites to use. And I'll put, I don't know, breaking it down into cups, maybe 2 or 3 cups of it into the water itself. Let it come to a rolling boil. And then drop your crabs in and boil them for 8 minutes. You know, your boil's going to go away when your crabs are in, but it's going to come back. Your water's going to get back boiling hot. And once you hit your 8 minutes, just turn the gas off and let them soak for 7. It's a 15-minute process. And pull them out, and they're going to pick easy. And plus the vinegar, the apple cider vinegar, you get a little bit of that good taste in there, but it makes them easier to pick. It's, you know, vinegar always makes your crabs easier to pick, especially the bodies. And enjoy. You know, and season to taste. I mean, some people like them hot. Some people like them mild. And you might want to add a little salt in there, too, maybe a quarter cup. But depending on your seasoning, the seasoning you use, if it has a lot of salt in it, you don't have to add salt. So pretty simple. Not much to it. All right, let's get to our phone lines. We do have some available, 713-572-4610. First up this morning is Bob. Bob, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Hey, morning, Mickey. Hey, good morning. I just want to mention to somebody, I'm not trying to get into the political stuff or anything, but I had my first booster or my last booster shot yesterday. Uh-huh. A big golf outing planned today, and I can't even raise my left arm.
Uh-oh.
So somebody's got a big fishing trip or a hunt trip, you might think about getting your booster shot a day or two after. I don't know how long this is going to last, but I've been in the yard swinging a club, and there's no way. Grab the fishing pole. I don't even think I can roll anything in. No, and I mean, I've played hurt and everything like that before, but I'll tell you what, this put me down. So I was just kind of warning the folks out there, if they got something big planned, they might do it a day or two after they got that planned.
Right, I understand. So, sore arm with the booster. Hadn't heard that one yet, but I only know of a couple of people that have had the booster, and they didn't mention it to me, but that's good to know.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, it knocked me down.
Well, that hurts. You can't go play golf, man. That's not a good thing.
Tell me about it. I had a bunch of guys that I could probably win some money off today, too. I've been planning this for a while.
There you go. A little scramble work in there, bud. Get you some running around fishing money.
All righty. I just hope it might save somebody else the same trouble.
Okay, Bob. Thank you, buddy. All right. Take care. All right. Next up, let's go to Ray in Highlands, my old Baylor Bear buddy. What's up, Ray?
Well, that was good for us yesterday, except for losing that quarterback. But
I know. Boy, I tell you, as soon as he ran out of bounds, he grabbed that back right. You can see his hand go back. He just fell to the turf on that hamstring. That was not pretty looking.
Well, he'd already pulled up the last few steps before he went down. So
yeah.
But I was glad to see him come back on the sideline in street clothes. So maybe it's not quite as bad as we think. Anyway, we get Texas Tech next weekend, so that's a virtual bye. Sorry about that, Tony Gonzalez. They talk about your Raiders, but they had
the Red Raiders and the Baylor Bears.
Anyway, that'll be a good one. And of course, Oregon lost, and that's going to really turn.
They got smoked, man. I was thumbing through, just trying to find something I wanted to get into, you know. With the Baylor game going on, I turned it on, and in the first half, it was like, what, 28-0 or something? I'm going,
I can't believe
they're getting smoked like that.
And I can't believe they went to sleep on Utah, because that was one of the big dog favors for everybody. But I tell you, the Cincinnati people ought to be thrilled to death over that, because that's probably going to put them in. So, anyway. It's fun and games. Are you catching your crabs with a trap?
Yes. I got out of the crabbing business trying to do that with a string and stuff. I mean, that's like
kid stuff.
Pulling teeth. So we just went down and bought us some crab traps and put them out. And it's me and Raz and Sammy, and we're having a blast doing it. And it's fun, and we're learning stuff.
You got enough traps?
Oh, yeah, we got more than I want to run. You know, you're allowed six apiece with a recreational license, and I think we got 14 total or something, and it's fun.
Well, you remember when the guy had that little bait shop there on Goohole down by boat ramp? He had those great, I mean, wonderful crab traps that came out of Louisiana somewhere. Anyway, I've got two brand new ones of those that it's never even been in the water. Because, well, you know, we had that place out.
If you want to get rid of them, you know my number, bud.
Well, you'll probably kind of see it on your driveway pretty shortly. You know me.
Hey, but I'll tell you one thing I have learned about this. The color of trap does make a difference. The yellow ones catch the most crabs. I'm serious. That sounds like a farce, but it's true. The yellow-colored ones, the yellow-coated ones make a difference.
Well, that's a brand new one on me. I guess if I get to be 100 years old, I want to get past learning something every time I talk to you.
Me too. And then the next best color is that kind of green-colored one.
Well, that's what these are.
Yeah, and green's good.
But we had that place out there behind the levee. Good Lord, we didn't even use traps. We just took. In fact, I wouldn't let the kids go down there and just dip them up off the side with the net without using. I made them use chicken necks and stuff just for the sport of it. But, shoot, when we had that deal, heck, we were raising crabs down there inside that levee, and we'd go around the, go around the levee wall at night, get a bunch of the guys out there and shoot the nutria off into the pond and feed the crabs, turn the nutria into something good to eat.
Well, the crabs and the gators have got to eat too, man.
Well, they do. Anyway, you know, I always, being out there with the bunch of guys I always had to feed, I got in the habit of steaming my crabs.
Right.
And
yeah, steaming's good too if you got the setup for it. That's a really good way. That's why they do it on the East Coast a lot.
Well, and that's where I learned that with the Old Bay and all that and bay leaves and everything else. But the good thing about that was you can just take your regular pot that you boil in and put a cinder block in the bottom just enough to get it up where you can put about 6 or 8 inches of water in the bottom. And the beauty part of that is you don't have to wait 20, 30 minutes for it to come to a boil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're steaming pretty fast. And it's a little cleaner, too. And it's exactly the same taste. You can't tell the difference.
Right. But timing's everything on them. You don't cook them enough or cook them too much, and they won't come out good.
Well, it's that 8-10 minutes that you're – it's about the same time that you talked about 8-10 minutes of boiling time. It's about the same time.
Right.
And but anyway, well, I tell you what, you'll have these traps because right now the river, they haven't come back up the river yet. Or at least I hadn't seen any up here. So
yeah,
they're just sitting here doing nothing, and I can't hardly stand that for sure.
I heard that. I'll put them to work.
I know you will. You know, our resident flounder are sitting around grinning at us right now.
Yeah, they are. They're partying right now. Well, some people are out there hair lifting them pretty good, but you know, they just can't get enough of it. But no, it's December 15th can't get here fast enough for a lot of these folks, bud.
You know, I know that's right. You know, the flounder pounder guys are sitting around just counting the days down.
Oh, I'm telling you, they're chomping at the bit, man. I know Chicken Boy is.
Oh,
I'm sure it's driving him crazy.
You know, we've talked about this a million times and hear it on the show all the time, too. There's a lot of guys that's around that do nothing but that.
That's it. And they live for this.
Yeah. But, you know, we've talked about those resident flounder upstream up here in some of our favorite bays, and, boy, they are really smiling over there. I think they caught on to that just like the deer and the white wings and everything get in these subdivisions. All of a sudden they get the sense of pressure off, and here we go.
They're safe but right now.
Yeah, they are for a fact. They really think that that's going to help out, huh?
I'm telling you. Well, that's what they say, and you know they're the managers of our fishery, and they're supposed to know what they're doing. So I hope so. I wish them the best. I hope it all works out.
Well, we won't know till we know, because in my mind, and I've heard you say the same thing, we didn't have a shortage anyway.
And I don't think so.
Well,
not from what I'm
seeing.
No.
But anyway, well, that's about
all
it.
Right,
for here,
Ray. All right, buddy. Well, go Bears, and we'll see what happens next week. And, hey, and if I don't talk to you before then, happy Thanksgiving, Ray.
Well, great, and I thank you for that. Are you going to be around the house this afternoon?
Yeah, I should be there.
Okay. Well, if I head over that way with those traps, I'll give you a ping before I get there.
Pop me, man. I've always got a phone on. All right, brother.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Ray. See you, man. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. Man, time's going by fast. Thanksgiving right around the corner. All right, phone lines are open, 713-572-4610. All right, next up it was going to be Edward, but he dropped. It's Roy Simmons, Richland Chambers. Royce, good morning. What's going on?
Well, I'm sitting here writing a little article, one of the local lake papers, talking about wintertime white bassing.
There you
not
go.
Not catfishing. We finally got on the lake for a couple of days all toward the end of the week, Friday and Saturday, after it blew like a son of a gun up here all week long. Did y'all have the wind down there like we had
it
up here?
No, we didn't. It was nice down here. We had a good week.
We had two really strong south wind days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then it came from the north for Thursday, but it really turned off to be a nice fall Friday, Saturday, so... We had some folks that were really wanting to do some white bass and had some kids on board on Adam's trip yesterday. And on Friday, I'd heard a few rumors from the week before about them kicking in gear on a good fall bite. And the rumors weren't rumors. They were true. So we
it's true. Yeah, that's good when rumors turn out to be true.
Oh, I tell you, we had a really good Friday and then backed it up with a both boats out yesterday and just loaded the ice chest with those really big, large fall type white bass. They're already putting on eggs. They're eating like crazy, shad everywhere. And, it was, kind of a return to the old days when you really had a great October, November fall bite that we've had hit and miss the last few years. The reason we do so much catfishing, but, we're probably going to turn back to a little catfishing starting tomorrow, first of the week. Got some folks that want to do some meat hauling, so we'll see what happens there. But I had a question for you. We went from the marina to Pelican Island, which is 3 or 4 miles across the open lake yesterday, and I had noticed at the boat ramp I wasn't hearing all that shooting going on over at the management area, the call it the wetlands over there, that where they got all those water being filtered through the grasslands, and the duck hunters hit that, you know, really heavy during the winter time. And the week before, when I guess it started, what, 2 weeks ago, a week before?
Yeah.
And it was like a war going on, and I noticed it noticeably yesterday. It just wasn't that much. And when we headed out across that open lake, I don't know, pick a number, 10,000 ducks. I mean, are ducks smart enough to leave an area and fly across the levee and that's where they're going to roost?
Was it calm yesterday?
We were the first ones on the lake, you know, right around a little bit after daylight, and we're going from the south end of the lake up to the north, and right across the levee is where that grasslands is, where all those duck hunters shoot those ducks. But they were just rafting out there on the lake, and we scared up for a mile or so ducks. And I'm not a duck hunter. Couldn't tell you what all kind they were. They were big ducks, so I know some mallards and stuff were with them. But, you know, they were where a hunter couldn't get to them because it's out on the middle of the open lake. So
they do that down here on the coast. When we get those real calm days, those birds will go sit out on the bays, you know, out from the marshy areas where, you know, everybody duck hunts. And they'll go lay up on the bay, especially with this full moon like it is, too. You know, they'll roost out there and lay up. And then
I didn't know if they just roost is the word I used. I didn't know if that's what it was, but it was as many ducks as I have ever seen. And again, on the main lake, and just 2-3 miles from where, you know, they'd be shot at if they were,
right.
You know, coming off of a roost in the grassland. So I didn't know if I was giving a duck too much credit for being smart or not, but you know, like a deer, you know, you'll see them change a pattern when the hunting season starts. So
sure they will. Maybe it definitely changes things, no doubt.
But, we had a good end of the week, and got a pretty nice week with Thanksgiving coming up to fish, and got a few folks wanting to fish. So we're gonna do that for a few days, and then cool. Take a day or two off. You headed to the deer lease, or what you got going for the holidays?
I'm gonna stay home for Thanksgiving. I'm gonna do some family stuff, and usually I do my deer deal between Christmas and New Year's. I'll take off. I'm out of here for about 10 or 11 days, man.
I hear you.
I'm out of pocket. I'm down in God's country.
Yeah, excellent. Well, we're going to enjoy a little fall and turkey and family and hopefully some football, decent football. So we'll see what happens. But I just going to call and say you have
a
great holiday.
Football team.
Hey, you know,
y'all are paying us back for our baseball team this year. So, hey, it all works out, man. It's Texas. It don't matter.
I told you what goes around comes around. But
you got that right.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if the boys would drop a couple in a row. It's not like they've got gimme games here coming up. So we'll see. I hope it's interesting, though, especially that Turkey Day game with the Raiders. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I just go say thanks for the time you give us. Appreciate you, and have
you
a good
bet,
turkey
Royce.
Day.
We appreciate you, brother, and happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Throw them out a number if somebody wants to come up and fish with you guys.
You bet. 903-389-4117. GoneFishing.biz on the web. And I don't know how long this fall white bass bite will last, but if it goes south on us, we've always got them catfish up here all winter long. So it's all good.
I'm telling you. Good to be a guide on Richland Chambers, baby.
Another day in paradise. Have a good one. We'll see you when
we
do.
Thanks, Roy. Okay. See you, man. All right. Roy Simmons weighing in there. All right. Next up is Steve in San Antonio. Steve, good morning. How are you, man?
Man, I'm doing good. How are you today?
Oh, I couldn't be better, brother. Not a bit.
Yeah,
can't
I was
getting better.
Supposed to be. Well, that's a good place to be, then. That's a good place to be. Now, I was supposed to get out in the blind this morning and looked around and realized how many chores I needed to get done before I head back home. So I was supposed to be sitting in the blind with my daughter. She's in the learning phase of realizing that sitting in the blind is not killing, it's hunting. So
right.
We've been working on that and finding some calls. And I think I sent you a little video yesterday morning. I was watching an eight that had virtually no brow tines whatsoever, and he needs to come off the feed bill. So
right.
Doing a lot of that right now because the weather's just not cooperating. It's just too warm.
Yeah, it has warmed up quite a bit the last couple of mornings. So I don't know. It'll all come. We're early in the year yet. We've got a long ways to go.
Yeah.
What area do you hunt in? What part of the state do you hunt?
So you know where Uvalde is?
Yeah, I sure do.
All right, go south as a crow flies, probably about 45 miles south and east.
Uh-huh.
Right on if you looked at Uvalde County, we're in the bottom, the southeast corner of Uvalde County, right at the Zavala County, Uvalde County line. So
right.
We got an interesting topography, if you will, out here because we've got red dirt, we've got sand, we got black dirt, we got rock. Just depends on what side of the lease. We're on a low fence. 3,100 acres, and we
Sweet.
Are MLD. I was listening to Blaine,
yeah,
and I agree with a lot of stuff he talks about because it's crazy, but it's just nothing better than getting into South Texas and sitting in the blind and watching sunrises, sunsets, birds, you know, you name it. It's just great.
Yeah, all the songbirds, the cardinals and all that, they're all heading south. I've been losing a lot of it at my house, and, boy, they're showing up big in South Texas right now.
And, you know, I don't know if it, I don't know much about much, but it seems like our cardinals, our green jays, are bright colored. The buntings, their color is more, it's richer, deeper color than I've ever seen them. And I just feel like that frees whatever happened. I don't know. Or maybe it's just because it was a good wet, you know, we had a wet year and a lot of natural browse and stuff, but they're pretty. They're pretty.
No doubt.
But you got me going talking about that Weatherby 257 Magnum. You got me fired up because that's what I've been. I got that 2 years ago through that CCA.
That lifetime membership. Yeah, and they give you a Weatherby rifle. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think this year they went to the 6.5, but that year was the 257 Magnum. And man, when you talk about speed kills, good Lord, I mean it's just it's a mess. And I made the mistake.
Hey,
it's
a hot tamale, man.
I mean it is, and I've always just shot a 270, but going to that 257 Magnum, man, it's a game changer for sure. And I the first box of shells I got. Was 115 grain, and I wasn't paying attention and ended up getting ballistic tips. Well, you think speed kills, you put a ballistic tip on it, it really does make a mess. And so that gun shells are $75 a box, you know, and they're just so expensive. It's not like I'm going to put them aside.
I mean, a box of shells, you know, if you don't go to the range with it, just check your gun once before you start hunting season. You know, if it's on, you waste one bullet. But, I mean, a box of shells, it'll last you quite a while.
Yeah, it does. And I try to take care of my guns, and I don't, you know, accidents happen. You bump them and things like that. But I try really hard to not do that, because every time you pull the trigger, it's $2.50 or something. So.
Yeah,
but anyway, but
it's
no,
even
just,
more for
sure
a lot of guns.
Yeah. No, I just gonna say I appreciate everything you guys do. It's fun listening when we can't get out in the blind or in the water. We can kind of live through you guys and your stories and stuff like that. So we appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, Steve, and good luck with your hunting this year, and keep the photos coming. I love it. Appreciate it.
I'll do it. Have a great Thanksgiving.
All right, brother. You too. Later. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Final segment already on this Sunday morning. All right. Who's up next? We got Casey and Jack. Let's go to Casey. Casey, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Hey, Mickey, how you doing this morning?
I couldn't be better than you, sir.
Oh, I'm good. If there was a studio audience in your studio, I would probably be about to be booed. But I fish more in Clear Lake and in Bay Cliff. And after a period of time of catching different fish, I found it easier to get up on a morning like Sunday and go catch me some hardheads and I clean them. And from what the only thing that I can gather is when I fry them, they taste great. And I just wondered if you could expound on the fact that that they're known as trash fish and they're not what caused the bad rap on those fish?
What causes what?
What caused the bad rap on, you know, the bad rap on the hardheads? Why do they get such a bad reputation?
I don't know. I mean, I've never eaten one personally. They're pretty stinky when you catch them. You know, I don't catch many because I throw lures a lot. But when I do, you know, you got to handle them and take them off. I mean, they just smell disgusting to me. And now that doesn't say that. I mean, every fish they claim, TPNW claims out of the bay is edible. But I've never had the gumption to try them. You know, I've eaten gaff top before. They're not the best fish to eat, but they are edible. No. You can make them taste good, cut the bloodlines out of them and all that, and marinate them and fry them. They're okay.
Okay. But,
you know, with other species we have, like flounder and redfish and trout and croaker and drum and other things, they're just seem to be a better eating fish to me.
So okay.
I can't disagree with you or agree with you because I've never eaten one.
Okay, so the smell smells something like a Pasadena, Texas refinery in the morning.
Yeah, it could possibly be, yeah. Kind of like a skipjack stinks or a needle gar. You know, some fish just have that foul odor to them that doesn't appeal to me, I can tell you that.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to get an opinion from a pro that I trust and tell me, why he thinks he's not, why it might be offensive to him. But that's all I got, Mickey. You have a wonderful Sunday.
One of these days, if I ever get the gumption to do it, I'll try one just in your honor. To see what it really tastes
Mickey.
I've never tried one, but I've eaten a lot of things. I just hadn't eaten a hardhead out of the bay. Just hadn't done it. And there's plenty of them. People ought to get on the train and thin them out a little bit and start eating them.
Well, maybe I'll start a trend.
All right, buddy.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you a lot, and I enjoy your show.
Thank you, sir. Later. All right. That's Casey weighing in on hardheads. That's first. Never discussed that before in all these years. All right, let's go to Jack. Jack's up next. Jack, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show. What's up?
Oh, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm getting my boiler all fixed back up and fixed to start fishing again.
There you go. Get with it.
Ray has made a comment about my whaler not seeing it on the bay anymore, and I said, "Well, I'm going to try to get it going." And I've run a couple of trips last week, and we caught fish, but nothing to brag about. But it's a good deal, you know.
What do you got to do to your whaler?
Oh, I've got to put the T-top back on it. The canvas is blew off, and I've cleaned it up. I've let it set, Mickey, like you wouldn't believe. And there's so much trash in it, and I took the ice chest out of it and cleaned it all up and pressure washed it, and it looks good.
Well, yours is what, a 25?
Yeah, it's 25.
Yeah. Yeah, you've had that whaler a while now, bud.
I bought it in, what, 93?
Yeah, a long time ago.
It's pretty well been on the bay a lot of hours, you know.
Yeah, I remember you bought it, I don't know, a good 10 years before I bought my Kenner.
Is that right?
I'm still running that same old Kenner, man, that old 23.
I was going to ask you, how's that safe floor working for you?
Well, I've had it in there, probably 12 years now, and it still looks good, cleans up in a snap, and I like it. I can't live without it. Matter of fact, I got two good friends. They're trying to get Ed so busy right now, they can't get their boats in there, but they want to have it put in their boats. They love it when they go out.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do, too, and I figured that they were real busy right now, but I'm going to, when the fishing show starts, I'm going to go down and tell him that I need to get that safe floor put in my boat, you know. Oh,
Brandon and Ed will hook you up, man. They're good people. I mean, they stand behind their stuff, and they do a really
good
job.
Yeah, I know. I realize that.
They're awesome.
I've talked to them before, and I've just, it's one of those things that I put off. I just now got to where I can walk around without a crush, you know.
Yeah.
And I've had my hip redone, and boy, I mean, I can get up and walk now. You know, I can get in and out of the boat too.
That's good. I mean, I'm surprised both hips ain't wore out and everything in your body ain't wore out from all the days you spent tromping around in that marsh out there. And just we were talking about you at Raz's the other day, old Jackie Ray Inman, man.
I tell you what,
good times. Golly, we had so much fun out there, buddy. That was as good as it gets.
It was a hoot, buddy. I'm gonna tell you right now,
We'd goose hunt, me and you and Harry'd be laying on the levee, and you'd be calling him geese, and I'd look down, and I'd poke old Harry. I said, look at Jack. He looks like a big old eagle head blue down there calling on them geese, man.
Well, thank you for the compliment, buddy. I tell you what.
I'm hunting with all of them, and hey, you're the best, man. We had so many good hunts. Them geese were just, you were like the snake charmer. You just bring them geese right on top of us.
I do a little murmur on them, and they'd just flip over backwards. And one time I had a guy out in the marsh, and we were all sitting on a rat hill, there was two geese coming down straight at us. And I said, you take the one on the right, and I'll take the one on the left. And about the time they got right to us, he said, Which one?
Which one? Oh, that's all right, buddy. I'll shoot both of them for you. Hey, remember when me and you and Harry, when we were all hunting together, we'd call each other, and I'd call Jack, and he'd answer the phone. He'd go, oh, sound like a big old blue goose. And I'd answer the phone the same way, and my wife goes, y'all are some sick individuals.
You know what? My grandmother taught me how to call crows by mouth. And, I applied it to geese whenever I come down here. I moved down here, and it was a real hoot to do that, you know? And those old geese, they're easy, you know?
you got to give them what they want. And, I'd hunt people, and I'd call them speckle bellies in, and they go, man, I've never seen anybody that can call speckle bellies in like that. Who taught you how to blow that XLS-81, you know, that clear call that you turned me on to?
Yeah.
I said, Jack Inman taught me how to call speckle bellies. He's the best.
Well, I appreciate it, Mickey. I'll tell you what, we've had a lot of good times, buddy.
I'm telling you. The reason we were talking about you, we were talking about getting marsh buggy stuck. Remember that time the day before teal season on the big lake back at Fitzgerald's, we were in a terrible drought. There was just enough water back there that we could make a teal hunt on, and we got that buggy stuck back there. And remember, we're all on our hands and knees digging that thing out with our hands, and Robert Robbins is standing up there in the buggy giving orders. He wouldn't even get down and help us. Remember that?
I tell you what, there's been a lot of good times, and you know, Fitzgerald's was a place to be.
It was.
Hey, let me ask you something. You're doing these crabs. You ever had a old wash machine wringer that come off of an old wash machine? You remember the wash machines that had the wringers on them that you feed?
Yes.
I've got one of those, and they are perfect for doing crabs.
I know. Me and Raz have been looking for one for about a month. He ordered one online and got it in, and we tried it. It wouldn't work. You couldn't tighten the bottom roller like the top, and it wouldn't do right. So we cleaned it up and sent it back to him, and they gave us money back on it.
I gave one to I can't remember who it was, but I've got two of them, and I've got one of them still in the old, it's on the wash machine, really, but you can put the crabs in the wringer, and it'll squash it to get it all the meat out of it.
Yeah, you just run them through, and the meat comes out on one side, and the shell goes out on the other, and then you got all that lump crab meat. That's what we're trying to do.
And, well,
I need to hook up with you.
I tell you what, I don't have your phone number. Did I call you earlier?
I think you did. Let me look at my phone. I'm pretty sure you're in my you're in my contacts, because I was trying to get a hold of you back when, you know, everything was going on with Robbie.
And,
Hillman said, well, I talked to Jack, and let's see if I've got it here. Here it is. It's under Inman. 713-806-4253.
805.
Oh, 805. Okay, well, maybe that's why I didn't get a hold of you, because I got 806 in my phone.
No, it's 805.
Well, my bad. No wonder I couldn't get a hold of you.
Well, text me your number.
Okay, I will.
And I'll get in touch with you, and let's get together and have. I tell you what, I'm reminiscing old times, and it just since Linda passed away, I'm really getting back to in the running. You know it.
I know it, man. You've been through hell, buddy. You had a lot going on the last few years.
Yes, sir. I sure have. And I tell you what, I just turned 80, and I'm feeling
you're
good.
You're 80 now? Oh my yes, God! Sir. I can't believe you're 80 already.
Man, well, old Ray Fletcher's 83.
Who? Ray Stanley?
Yeah, Ray Stanley.
82 or 83, but he's drinking out of some fountain of youth somewhere, because he looks in his 60s, I swear.
Are you serious?
It's unbelievable. That's some good living up there in Highlands, man. Maybe I'll need to move there in my older age.
Oh, Lord. I tell you what, I feel good right now. I really am going into the extent that I just feel good, you know? And it's one of those deals that makes you wonder. You talk to all these people on the phone, and they said, you don't sound 80.
No, you don't. No. Oh,
but
Jack,
anyway. Okay. Oh, well.
Yeah, that's I'll never forget. They can't take our memories away from us. I can tell you that, all the good times over the years out there in that marsh.
No, sir, I'm telling you, it's just one of those deals that all the hunts that I've done, you know, to the extent that Gene Campbell's told me I can hunt free over there. I can, and I went teal hunting one day with Shane Shoshone and Brian Fisher.
Yeah. Yep, that's him, my nephew. Him and Shane are real good friends. Sean, you know, the one that plays golf, the golfer. Him
right,
and Shane are real good buddies, man.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're really good friends. Remember when Shane was just a punk kid coming out there hunting at Fitzgerald's with us, man? We used to have a blast with him. Remember that time you put that live snake in that box of shells and put it in his pickup truck? Oh, the pranks. Oh, that was good stuff.
Well, I was playing jokes on just about everybody. I put a snake in somebody's waders one day, and they put them on, and I said, you don't feel that snake in your waders? And he went, you put a snake in my waders?
I remember that. Yeah. We used to hang our waders up in the barn over there at Fitzgerald's, and then I remember the time you jumped out of the truck, and I thought, oh, he's getting a tag. You know, a lot of times you'd see a neck collar laying on the ground or a tag or something, and you come up off the ground and threw that snake in the truck with me, and I couldn't get that door open fast enough. I, like, tore the door off that Chevrolet to get out the other side. Oh, man.
Well,
I remember we'd go out there and clean them pit blinds out, getting ready for hunting season, teal season. And there'd be a big old cottonmouth down in one of the bottom of them pits, and Jack just crawled down in there and grabbed him, sling him out. And I'm going, man, you are nuts. Not me.
I found an alligator in one of my pits one day, and I put it in the back of my truck. And those two girls in town, and they said, what do you got in the back of your truck? And I said, I got an alligator I found in one of my pits. And they said, what are you going to do with it? I said, well, I'm going to take it down to wildlife refuge and let it go. And I called Robbie about that time, and he says, I got a place you can put it. Okay, well, where is it? And I said, in that guy's truck. It's in the parking lot. So I did. But, you know, I never heard nothing about it.
Well, Maybe he didn't even know it was back there.
Well, I'm sure he did, because it was about 6 foot long.
Yeah, it wasn't no baby. Boy, we saw one the other day on the bank while we were running our crab traps, and there was two of them sitting there sunning, and that one was as bigger around than a 55-gallon drum. It had to be 12 to 14 feet, I estimated, because there was a 9-footer right next to him laying on the same bank, and it looked like a lizard next to this gator. It was a monster.
We went to that Gator Fest, and Mark's name.
Hey, I got to go, man. I'm out of time. Oh, I hear the music already. I could talk all day with you, but I'll text you my number. We'll get hooked up, Jack. See you, buddy.
All right,
take care. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show, but we'll be back next week, bright and early, 4 a.m., Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.